Welcome to the Jennings Wire Online Magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Amaral Kaufman. I'm the radio director of Annie Jennings PR, the national firm behind the online feature magazine, SensationJenningsWire.com, a special community of bloggers and podcasters that is capturing the heart of America. There's nothing like it on the web, and we invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that is just right for you. And today's guest is Scott Barron, a trial lawyer and owner of the Barron Law Firm in Weston, Florida, that practices in all state and federal courts in the state of Florida. He specializes in the areas of business and employment litigation. And today, we're going to discuss your rights as an employee. So welcome, Scott.
Thank you.
Now, let's talk about how employees, and maybe people don't even realize that this could be an issue, but how employees can know whether or not their employer has misclassified them as an independent contractor.
Okay, well, so one of the problems these days is that if you classify somebody as an employee, and probably in most cases somebody isn't an employee, it requires the employer to contribute payroll taxes, pay workers' comp insurance, pay into the state unemployment fund, and things of that nature. So a lot of employers are trying to take the shortcut of just saying, yeah, you know, you're an independent contractor and I'm going to 1099 you. In addition, there's additional tax consequences to the employee if they're a 1099 rather than a W-2. So one of the ways really to know is, you know, generally, if you're not controlling your own schedule, providing your own materials, you know, able to work outside of, you know, the employer that you're working for, doing, you know, similar type of work, generally, you're probably not an independent contractor. You're probably an employee. And there's, you know, you can either bring that issue up to the employer or also to the IRS that addresses misclassification issues.
Okay. And furthering the misclassification conversation, what about if you are being paid as a salaried employee when really you're more hourly?
Well, I mean, a lot of people come to me with that type of issue also, where they're working, you know, 50 or 60 hours a week and they're not getting paid any overtime. They're just getting paid a flat salary. And generally, to be exempt from overtime and entitled to be paid salary under federal law, under the Fair Labor Standards Act, you really have to fit certain criteria. You normally be a management position or some type of person with a great administrative discretion or a professional. There's a bunch of different exceptions out there, but generally, if you're a routine type of employee that's doing routine types of things and not supervising people, you probably should not be classified as a salaried exempt employee and probably are entitled to be paid overtime. Once again, that's something that could be addressed with the employer or even the U.S. Department of Labor if you think you're being misclassified.
And Scott, what if the environment is horrible to work in? What if your boss is picking on you, or even coworkers might be picking on you? What recourse do you have as an employee then?
Well, coworkers, if there's something relating to some type of discrimination, you know, race, pregnancy, religion, or something like that, there's avenues to pursue with human resources and possibly the EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. But if you just have what I call a jerky boss, and a lot of people come to me with those jerky bosses, there's not always a heck of a lot you can do as long as they're not violating some state or federal law. Usually you don't have any claims if you just have a nasty or a bad boss, and you might want to just look for another job.
Well, that's, I guess, always an option to look for another job. And now, if you are looking for another job.
I know easier said than done, but.
Right, yeah. Now, if you are looking for another job, but you have a non-compete, you know, what is the case with that, and how can you, how do you know if it's enforceable or not enforceable in your own situation?
Right. Well, it's function a lot of the time of what state you're in. Some states really don't allow enforcement of non-competes at all and keep employees from working. California is one. Colorado is one. Illinois has some new case law that makes enforcement of non-competes a lot stricter. Where I'm here in Florida, they're still generally enforced. But again, there's defenses. You know, if you're not working in the same area, if the employer somehow has breached their agreement with you, If you haven't been given some type of trade secrets or specialized training when you work for the employer, then generally there's a lot of defenses that can be raised to enforcement of a non-compete. And sometimes you're just going to want to hire an employment lawyer to take a look at it and maybe try to negotiate yourself out of that agreement with the old employer before you go to the new one and create a problem over there.
And now, what are some of the other types of agreements that people should be aware of, shareholder operating agreements that business owners and employees as well should know?
Well, as far as, you know, business organizations go, one of the real important things I think is when you're setting up a business, especially if you're doing it with friends or family, and everybody says, hey, it's a great idea, we're going to be 50-50 in this new business that we're creating. And the problem that people don't realize is that then if you're 50-50 and you guys start to get into a dispute over how to run the business, there's no way to resolve that dispute in many, many cases. So an operating agreement is for an LLC, a shareholder agreement is for a corporation. And generally, it's like a roadmap that says, this person's going to do this. They're going to contribute this type of money. This person's going to contribute this type of labor. Who's going to address disputes or break ties if people can't resolve their disputes? And what happens if somebody wants to get out of the business? You know, what's the avenue for somebody to get out of the business? And how are you going to value their ownership interest in the business?
Now, Scott, one last thing. What types of employee rights do you find are violated mostly? What are most common? What types of things do people not even realize are they're being violated?
Well, I mean, typically these days, one of the biggest things, honestly, is misclassification of employees as 1099s rather than W-2s, where the employee all of a sudden finds out when they do their taxes that they have to pay all this extra money. That's one issue. And the misclassification to avoid overtime. Those are two, I think, of the biggest issues that arise these days that I think a lot of employees are not aware of until they come in, maybe after they get fired or something of that nature, and then all of a sudden they're advised of what their rights were.
Well, I know that there's a lot out there that people may want to ask you and, of course, our listeners. If you have any questions at all about the legal matters covered in our conversation today or maybe not even had a chance to cover today, you can reach Barron Law Firm at barrenlaw.com. That's BEHREN law.com. Or at its employees rights blog, which is Take This Job and Shove It blog, which I love. So Take This Job, the letter N, Shove It blog. There you go. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here, Scott.
Thank you.
And this podcast is presented by Annie Jennings of the national publicity firm, Annie Jennings PR, and the creator of JenningsWire Online Magazine. JenningsWire is capturing the heart of America with its rich community of talented, insightful, and relevant bloggers and podcasters. So please visit JenningsWire.com and discover the blogger that's just right for you. Till next time.